The skills demand of the market is highly volatile, and traditional education does not necessarily respond to the world's need in terms of employment. If you are constantly learning something to better your life or any aspect, you can be considered an autodidact. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where in the world you're listening to me. Today, I'll be speaking to a good friend, and you should know that by the way they're discussing, she's somebody who's always reading and researching and finding things out. And she got me to do this with her, and I'm excited to be doing this. Her name is Dinah Sechefi Agwenyo, who works as the program assistant at Junior Achievement Ghana. She's a community level change agent with several years of experience in program management, communications, and inner city youth development. She hosts the Ambitious African podcast. And here I'm going to let everybody look for it on any platform you listen to the podcast. Jump into it. She has very interesting and educational content for you. And you'll be able to make a lot of meaning and learn a lot from it. And then she also advocates for self-confidence, fearlessness, and financial independence. So Dinah, welcome. And I'm glad to be doing this with you. There's always something to learn from you every time you speak. And I'm excited that we get to amplify our thoughts with the world. And everybody gets to hear it also. So kindly go in, let's know about you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Lily. I'm excited that I am finally on your podcast. I hope today is not the only time I get to come. Like you already mentioned, the underlying theme for most of the things I do is go get a, you know, test it out, try it out, give yourself permission to make mistakes. Like those are primarily the theme that goes around a lot of things I do. Currently, I teach people how to make clothes for themselves with Tony Fashion Skills Agency. And why I mentioned that is because at the end of the day, one thing I have realized is that people have within themselves the ability to learn the things they've always wanted to learn, if only they can see the next steps beyond that desire. And that is something that we both can call autodidactism. And that's something I'm also passionate about. Usually when I talk to people about learning things for themselves, they switch to online courses, which is totally fine. But one thing I have realized is before you even think of what you want to learn or the medium you want to use to learn, there are some things you need to understand for yourself before you understand what tools would work for you. Exactly. And these are some of the things that I get to do in my work with young people in my fashion skills agency. And usually what we usually discuss as well on the Ambitious Africans podcast. Yeah, that's just a bit about me.
Interesting. So you just launched us into the discussion, and you're starting off on a very good note. And everybody knows now that you're into a couple of things, and we'll get to know in a bit how you got here and how you've been able to learn this and keep a balance with work and managing this also. So we are going to start by asking first, what is autodidactism? It's a big word, but I feel very relatable. What is it?
Yes. So autodidactism is simply put teaching yourself stuff you don't know using, well, this is my extension of the definition, using things you already know. So that's just what autodidactism is, stealing ideas online, for example, and testing it out on the things you are working on or the things you are passionate about. Autodidactism is contextualizing something you have seen externally and then bringing it into your own context. Autodidactism is literally copycatting, if you want to do that. But at the end of the day, you are literally teaching yourself things. You are, it's self-directed learning in a way that is fun, exciting, and, you know, with a lot of mistakes as well. So that's autodidactism.
Exactly. So more like you're learning without a teacher or a master, you know, you're guiding yourself, self-directed. And I like how you said you literally gather inspiration or you find content online and use what you have to make meaning out of it, right? So let's go in and ask, have you taught yourself things? What are some of those? How did you start?
Okay, great. Some of the things that I have taught myself has been how to learn, for starters. I've also, most of the things I know about sewing, which I teach in my private sewing lessons, I learned by myself. I have also taught myself how to speak in public. I taught myself how to do great design on Canva. I taught myself how to take pictures of products that I sell online. Mm. I taught myself a lot of creative things, and those things did not come in because I immediately had an interest in them. It was because I was working in a space where you had to combine these skills to get something done. And now thinking back, I realized that I didn't have room for those frustrations where I was like, ooh, I don't know how to do this. I have to pay somebody to do that and things like that. I didn't have time to be frustrated. And so most of the things I have learned have been literally by Google, which I'm sure most of your listeners might relate with. But one thing I have done is beyond just Googling things, I have really zoned in on how to access information within a microsecond and how to make sense of that information in real time, very short time, and then quickly transfer it to what I want to do. Beyond that, I have also learned a few things about online course delivery. I have learned about how to launch an online course with something as very hands-on and technical as sewing, which is quite fascinating. It's one of the feats I am so proud of myself for doing. How to sell as well is something I learned for myself. Wow. Those are some of the things I have learned. How did I do that? Well, like I mentioned earlier in the intro, the idea is to always think along the lines of you're moving from familiar into the unfamiliar. You understand some things for yourself. You understand some concepts for yourself. Now, how do you find basic principles that are applicable in the new information you're trying to gather for yourself? And once you understand how these principles are also relevant in the new skill you're trying to master, it's way easier to understand it and way easier to even try them out.
Because you mentioned something about the interest and all those, can you tell us why it's important that a person becomes a proactive learner?
Yes. One of the biggest gains for wanting to become a proactive learner is obviously the time and money it saves you. But then the self-discovery of that exercise is something that really empowers you in a very, very big way. And I am all about fearlessness. I'm all about self-confidence, particularly in this space, because when you're able to give yourself patience to understand how something works and then coach yourself through to finally do it, you gather mastery for the next skill that you might need. You are able to go from one step to another with that level of confidence, saying, oh, I was able to teach myself how to design on Canva. I most likely would be able to figure out how to edit my videos for YouTube if I can apply the same patience and the same grace. That is one of the biggest relevance of being a proactive learner. You are able to build up confidence to approach a lot of things that you might not have done if it was otherwise.
Interesting. Right. That's very well put. And then I want us to just take this conversation into also exploring how and where people can start. You already mentioned online, which all of us do. You know, there's a great depth of knowledge sharing online and all. What other traditional means maybe can we find content or start to learn?
Yeah, that's a good one. One thing I have always loved doing is asking people in the space that I want to learn from a lot of questions. And because I teach people how to sew, I have a good relationship with my initial teachers. And then one of the things I think I was lucky to have at the beginning was a teacher who was very liberal. She taught you the basics and said, okay, now you know the basics, then you can fly. If you're able to use the networks you have to ask very targeted questions based on what you have experienced. When I say based on what you have experienced, I mean based on what you already have started doing, okay? Mm. So if you already, for example, now I run my sewing classes online. And so when I'm taking videos of the things I'm working on to show my online students, and then I have a problem, I go to somebody who's good at video editing or even taking videos, and I'm like, I don't understand why this angle is coming out this way on the video at the end of the day. I'm asking questions that are very targeted. Mm. And that can save you a lot of stress and a lot of time trying to figure out what the problem could be.
Right.
Another thing that I have found very useful in learning things for myself has been the fact that it just beats down to making mistakes and making your mistakes work for you.
Right.
Like making your mistakes work for you, in the sense that maybe, yes, you are trying to put something together. You are trying to even write a copy. I do copywriting as well. You're writing copy.
Right.
And in the first instance, you published something online. You didn't get the reaction you were expecting. And once you take a screenshot of that copy and say, no, this didn't necessarily give me what I wanted. So how do I make this mistake work for me? How do I use the same template, tweak a few things, and see how it resonates with people beyond my own estimations? That has been one way, well, I would say unconventional way of learning things on the go. And then, of course, very related to making mistakes is you just post and edit later. I think that is quite risky. Most people might not agree with me, but that's one of the things I have loved about the things I do. Mm. Like, I would just I can literally publish something that in my mind is not perfect, it's not ready. And then I edit as I go, because if I'm so fixated on it becoming so perfect, it will never get published.
Exactly.
So once I publish or once I launch, and that doesn't mean you should launch a crappy thing, or totally not.
Mm.
But once you launch something that you know, okay, this is like 90% ready, it is still my baby. I don't want to be clouded by my fixation on it. So let me just send it as it is and see the feedback, and then I can edit it as I go along. It saves you a whole lot of stress, and then you don't become so personally attached to something that was maybe poorly done, even though you thought it was 100% ready.
Mm, yeah. I agree with you. So more like you're feeling for it. So it happens to most of us. So probably, I think the thing is we are scared to do it. And once we have it out there, there's a bit of accountability associated. So we want to do it and make it well. Or we just go back, revise it, and make it workable. Is there something that can be really draining? You know, somebody wants to learn, but then they're doing a particular thing that looks like it will not lead them to a good end, especially with learning multiple things. What do you think shouldn't be done?
The first thing you do not want to do is take it so personal. Do not take anything you're doing so personal, because it's not personal. It's not that deep, for real, if you're starting to learn something new. That's one thing you don't have to do. Just give yourself grace and permission to make a lot of mistakes.
Mm.
Test out things and then combine some of the things or some of the tools or resources out there to see what really works for you. The second thing you do not want to do is copy blindly. Right. When I say copy blindly, like you watch a YouTube video, for example, that is telling you, oh, this is how we attach a sleeve, or this is how we insert music on a video, or this is how we animate this part of a video, or, you know, things like that. When you take that information, you do not necessarily want to copy blindly in the context that, okay, well, this is how this person did it, this is the sure way of doing it. No, you want to take that information and still trying to contextualize it and say, why is this person saying it should be done this way? Is it because maybe that is how it gets them results in their context? Is it because of their industry? Is it because of their level of experience? Is it because they're trying to save me time? Is it because they're trying to save me a lot of headache. Once you try to understand why this person is sharing this piece of information, then you know that, okay, this is a proven method because somebody has spent 5-3 months into testing it out and they believe this is the best way forward because this is how it has worked for them, something like that.
Right.
You do not want to copy blindly also in the context of stealing people's exact blueprints. I read somewhere yesterday that you can't succeed on somebody's blueprint. It's very difficult to just succeed on somebody's blueprint if you don't know what they are building.
Mm.
And that's a big learning curve. You do not necessarily want to just steal ideas and say, oh, I just saw that this worked. I saw that this caption worked, so let me use it. No.
Exactly.
You want to take that information. You want to study what makes this work. Why is this, for example, in terms of copywriting, why does this copy work so well? Mm-hmm. And ask yourself, is it because it is relatable? And those are the basic principles I try to find out. I try to squeeze out those principles. Is it because it is relatable? Is it because it is funny? Is it because it gives the person who is reading it a level of respect? Like, what are the basic principles or the human emotions that this thing is exuding?
Exactly.
Once you know that, you are leaving that learning experience saying, oh, I want to write copy that is relatable. Oh, I want to write an advert that people can see themselves in and not necessarily use the exact same words. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good.
Those are the two things you don't want to do. Yeah.
Right. So this has been really insightful, truly, from learning what autodidactism is to moving to how it should be done and to the benefits and now to what shouldn't be done in the journey. Thank you so much, Sechu. I know you want to share something about how to be rich or how people can listen to the Ambitious African podcast. Maybe you want to share that as we round up.
Yeah, you can reach me on Instagram. You can also, so on Instagram, the podcast is at ambitious_africans_podcast. We are also on LinkedIn. We have a community, a growing community on LinkedIn with the same name, Ambitious Africans Podcast Community. Personally, I am on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook with my names, Diana Sechofia Agbenyo. So yeah, if you just search for me, you'll find me. If you want to learn how to make clothes for yourself, sometimes for fun as well, you can hit me up there. Yeah.
Exactly.
Thanks to you, our listener, for listening to today's episode. In the spirit of community and finding answers together, I'll catch you on the next episode of Pointers and 10. Remember to share, subscribe, and leave us a review at anchor.fm/pointers-in-10. The same is linked in our show notes above.